Well, if you have your copy of God's Word tonight, if you'll turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 3. And I've been spending this time in January on teaching on fasting and prayer. And this is not so much a message on fasting and prayer as it is a message on the results of fasting and prayer. It's more of an encouragement through your time of fasting and prayer. And because I believe God responds to fasting and prayer. And you should already have a prayer life. You should just be adding fasting to that. And if this is the first time you've prayed, then this is something that you should continue to do, is to continue to have a prayer life. I've had something interesting happen to me this week. Something wonderful, actually. Something good and something, of course, the good news is not male. I'm 50 this week, so I crossed over. And I got my AARP stuff in the mail, and so I'm excited about the discounts that are coming. Praise God. No. See, y'all just killed the anointing. Amen. Thank you. You do everything Ronnie tells you to do you? All right, well, anyway, but I don't know how many of y'all remember Robert Summers. Robert Summers was when I first came, he was one of the first prophetic guys that I had here. He was from Dallas, Texas, and if you remember over at Venture Out, he was one of the first preachers I had here. He was an older gentleman, and he came in and spoke on a Sunday morning and Sunday night. And actually, he prophesied over some people, prophesied over our church, and he's just a great, incredible man of God. And so, interesting, this week, late in the evening on Tuesday, which is my birthday, I got a phone call, and it was Brother Keith and Dave Dowie. They were together in Rochelle, Illinois, and he was preaching up there. And then on the other line, on a three-way call, was Robert Summers, Bob Summers, and y'all remember Bob. But he said, Shane, I have a word for you. I was just talking with Cletty, and he said, I have a prophetic word for you and your church. I said, praise God, I'm ready to hear a prophetic word for our church. And he said, you've been on my heart. And he said, but I really believe God has given me something for you all. He said, I believe it's corporate, but I also believe that it's specifically for you guys. And he said, I want to share it with you. I said, sure. And actually today, after he finished giving me the word, Cletty said, you need to post that on Facebook on your church website. And so he did. And he did post that. And so what I did was I reposted it. So if you want to hear it, you can go back onto my Facebook page, and it's on there. I posted it today. And so you can go back and listen to it. But I'm going to tell it to you. So just in case you don't have Facebook, I'm going to tell it to you. As we go into this fast and as we're fasting and praying, you know, fasting and prayer is all about drawing close to God, drawing near to God. And I believe that we draw near to God for two reasons in this time of fasting and prayer. One is that we pray to find the will of God for our life, the will of God for our church, the will of God for what God has called us to do, and to find His perfect will. Secondly, is that God can unlock and release the potential that is in you to serve God. Fasting and prayer will unlock the potential that God has in your life. It draws you closer to God. As you draw closer to God, then the potential that is in you begins to be manifested in you. The will of God is manifested in you. The purpose of God will be manifested in you. So drawing near in this time of fasting and prayer, that we are finding God's will, finding God's purpose for our life. Brother Summers called and he said, Shane, I want to share a story with you. He said, I grew up in Houston, and I grew up in what was called the Ship Channels right out there in Houston. And he said, I grew up right on what was called Buffalo Bayou, which is, it wasn't called Buffalo Bayou because of the buffalo. It was called Buffalo Bayou because of the fish. You could catch buffalo fish in this bayou there, and it's where I grew up. He said that, I want to say something to you. He said, I feel the Lord is saying this. He said, every broad stream has its narrow center stream deep channel. In other words, in the ship canal of the Houston shipyards where those big ships come in. He said every broad stream, every one of those streams that run through that ship channel, not every one of them, but there's some that have a narrow center stream that is deep. In other words, that ship channel, not every road in that ship channel can those big ships go through. They have to be specific channels. And they're channels that have deep, deep streams. And so the only certain ships can get through certain areas because they're deep, deep channels. And he said, in life there are narrow center stream deep channels to God's will. In other words, he says, in order to find God's will, people have to find those deep channels in the midst of many streams they could go up and down in, but they have to know where the deep channels is so that they could stream through into where God wants them to go, into the purpose that they have and where He wants them to go. He said that is the key to people in the Bible. Heroes of the Bible, he said, are people who found those narrow streams of deep channels, who found to go through in tight places, and as they were prepared and as they pursued God's will, God would lead them into those deep channels of life where they could pass through those channels and be able to pass through where there'd be other channels that they should not take because they're too shallow in order to get big ships or to get things through. He said, what I wanted to say to you and your church is that God, in this time of fasting and prayer, God is going to reveal the deep channels to your church. He's going to reveal the deep streams of channels for your church to find the will of God and the purpose of God for your church. In other words, God is going to show you where those at. He said, but this is the key. He said, when a ship would enter that channel, it had to anchor first. And the reason it anchored first, because he had to wait on a pilot. They called them channel pilots to come and board your ship. That channel pilot would get on your ship, and that channel pilot would lead you through the channels. It would lead that ship, help you lead that ship through the channels. It would advise you on what areas to go, what channels to go to, what channels to go through, and what channels to go through, so that you don't get caught up in rock and the shoals and get caught up in the shallows. There was islands, there's backwaters. You could even take a wrong turn and end up going up the San Ysidro River that's there that runs through Houston. And if you don't go the right way. And he said that the Holy Spirit represents the pilot, the channel pilot, that if you will anchor and for a season pray and a season fast and seek God, God will allow the channel pilot to get on your ship and guide you through those channels. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows where the shallows are. The Holy Spirit knows where the islands are, where the shoals are, where the backwaters are, where your ship can fit through and make it through. And he said, I'm just prophesying to you to let you know that God has a plan for many churches and many groups of people, but if they'll be led by the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead, He'll lead them through tight places in order for them to get to the wide open oceans if they'll just be sensitive and listen to what the channel pilot tells them to go and where to go. I thought, praise God, that is a great word, and I receive that word. That's how we find the will of God for our life. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to get on our ship and to help pilot us through those narrow places in life where we could easily be run aground or easily be shipwrecked or easily have damage to the ship that we're on because we choose to go up or go to a different direction we're not supposed to be on because we do not understand where the deep streams are, or let the pilot lead us. When we say, I'm going to lead my own life, and I'm not going to allow no one to tell me how to pilot this ship, well, you go ahead and lead your own life, but I guarantee you, just somewhere along the lines, you're going to run aground somewhere. But if you allow the captain and the pilot of your soul to get on the ship and lead you and guide you, the Holy Spirit will show you where to go. That's my prayer in this fast, that God will lead us to those deep streams, bedded streams, those narrow places where it doesn't seem like we could get through to or minister to, or we can't, where others would say, you can't take that boat up that ship, that's too narrow. Well, the pilot channel said we can go that way. And if he says we can go that way, we can go that way. If he says don't go this way, don't go that way. We'll go the way he leads us to go. And so we need to allow the Holy Spirit to get on board with us and find God's will and his purpose in our life. And I believe he will. That's my prayer, that the Holy Spirit will do that. And I'm praying that prayer. I'm believing that. I received that. I thanked him for that word. And I said, Bob, thank you so much. That is such an encouraging word to our body. And we will take heed to that because I believe that he prays for us. Isn't it amazing? Aren't you humbled the fact to know that there's people that pray for us? Isn't that wonderful to know that there's prophets and preachers that do that? Brother Harkey calls me every once in a while. I'm praying for y'all. I want to give you this word. I'm praying for your church. I feel like this. Isn't it wonderful to know that God's got people that care about you and love you so much, they will continue to pray for you and mention you in prayer, and they feel the obedience, tugging of the Holy Spirit when God speaks a word to them that they would call and share that word with us? I want to tell you, I don't know if they do that to every church they go to. You know why? Because I don't think some churches allow the Holy Spirit to get on board. But praise God, just get on board, God. Just get on board of my heart, get on board of my soul, get on board. Jump on my ship, take ahead of it. I will anchor until you show up. I will stay here until you arrive. I won't move until you say go, and when you say go, I'll be ready. And it doesn't matter what it looks like by sight, whether I can get through it or not. If you say go through it, we will walk through it, and we will do it because you are leading us, and you know the channels. You know the shipyard. You know how to get us to deep waters. And so, thank God for the Holy Spirit. So it's to find God's will. And then it's to open the potential of God in our life. I was reading something about a fish this week. It's called a koi fish. Anybody ever heard of a koi fish? Have any of you ever had a koi fish? You've had a koi fish? Okay, so you've had koi fish. Here's what's interesting about koi fishes. They are influenced by their environments. Koi fishers are interesting. They have great impact. What impacts them depends on the environment that they're in. In other words, if you put a koi fish in a small tank, that fish will only grow to be 4 inches long. But if you take him and put him in a larger tank, he'll grow to 8 inches. If you put him in a larger tank or put him in a pond, he'll grow to 18 inches. If you put him in a lake, he'll grow to 42 inches. In other words, every koi fish has the potential to be 42 inches, but not every koi fish reaches 42 inches. You see the difference? There's a lot of Christians that have potential, but sometimes we never reach that potential because we're always stuck in smaller environments, and we never let God expand our potential or to let our potential to be what it is. In other words, we're never exposed to greater things. We're never challenged. We never get out of that small fish mentality, that small fishbowl. We never allow things to strengthen us or to equip us or our faith to be stretched or to be able to be equipped. In other words, we have to understand as believers, we have great potential. How I know that? Because the Word says the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. It says it dwells in us. It dwells in you. What's that mean? It means that we have great potential. But we have to allow God to speak, use to release that potential in our life. Fasting and prayer will help release that potential in your life. Help get you to another level. Help get you to that place where you get to where faith, where you live by faith to faith, where you've been enlarged in your spirit, where God has brought people in your life to stretch you, to train you, to disciple you, to help you go to a greater place. I read a story about an ice factory that caught on fire, and they still called the fire department. Now, there was enough H2O in that place to put the fire out, but they still called the fire department. Why? Because the H2O was frozen. It was frozen. And because it was frozen, the fire couldn't be put out. In other words, all of its assets were frozen. And that's how some of you are. There's great potential in your life, but the thing is, all your assets are frozen. And it has to be thawed out. That potential has to be thawed out in your life. So when we fast, we're fasting for God's will. I'll receive that word from Bob as we begin to search through the potential that God has in our life and the purpose that God has for us. And I pray that God will unlock His potential in your life, that you, like that fish, that you don't become a 4-inch fish, but you grow according to what you're able, what you're designed for, what you're capable for, what God has created you for, and what God has allowed you for. Here in the book of Ruth, chapter 3, I want to talk about God's desire for us to draw near. God's desire, what happens when we draw near? What are some of the things that happen when we draw near? I believe that Ruth experienced what it was like to draw near to her king, to draw near to Boaz. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. And so Naomi said to her, if you're going to draw near, if you're going to get to know him, if you're going to become his bride, there's certain things you've got to do to draw near. Now, Ruth is not fasting, and neither is Naomi, but it is a great principle about drawing near. When you can use these principles during the fast in order to pray to draw near. But I want to show you a few things as we look at this. And I want you to see this in this chapter. I want you to see a few things here about Boaz. Now, Boaz was a bachelor from Bethlehem. He was he's a beautiful picture of Jesus in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament picture of who Christ is. He's a beautiful picture of who Christ is. A great Christophany, or a great analogy of who Christ is. And when you look at this story, it's about drawing close to the one that loves us and has called us to be his bride. Paul said it like this in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. See, you can know about him but not know him, right? You've heard that statement before. You can know about Christ and not know Christ. You can know Greek and not know Jesus, is that right? You can know Hebrew and not know God. But in order to know him, we have to draw near to him. And when we fast and pray, you begin to know him. You begin not only to know him as his bride, as the church begins to know him as his bride. As you draw close to him and cry out to him and call out to him, you begin to draw near to him. It's interesting, Naomi here is giving advice to Ruth of how she should approach and how she should prepare herself to be before Boaz, how she should come to him. So while we're fasting, we can take this advice, apply it to our lives as we fast and pray to draw closer to him. Why? Because, one, when we draw closer, his will is being revealed in our life. As we draw closer, his potential is being worked out through our life. But first of all, I want you to see here in chapter 3 and beginning in verse 1, it said, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing a barley tonight at the threshing floor. And so in verse 3, she begins to give her some advice. This is what she says to do. First of all, she says that if you're going to go to him and if you're going to draw near to him, first of all, you must do this. Number one, it says, go wash yourself. In other words, go wash yourself. Now, the translation really means to be freshly cleaned, to freshly clean yourself, to be freshly clean. In other words, that is what we do when we fast. What are we doing? We are spiritually bathing ourselves. When we fast and pray and we seek to draw near to Jesus and seek to draw near to the King, what are we doing when we fast and pray? When we set aside this time of consecration, this time of prayer in our life, this time of seeking God, what are we doing? We are freshly being cleansed. We are freshly being cleaned. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 in verse 1, the Bible tells us this. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Paul says that we are to cleanse ourselves. We are to wash ourselves. Therefore, these promises. What were the promises? The promises was, in verse 11 through verse 18, Paul was talking about how to keep yourself holy, how to walk in holiness. And he gave promises for those who made the decisions to walk in holiness. He said in verse 11, O you Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own, what? It says, affections. Paul said this, listen, you want to draw nigh to God, you have to cleanse yourself. You have to freshly cleanse yourself, as Naomi was saying. You have to cleanse yourself, wash yourself, cleanse yourself with the washing of the water of the Word of God. Paul said, listen, the reason why you're restricted is not anything that God has done or anyone else has done. You've restricted yourself because you have sought after your own passions instead of going after what is God's. And he said, now in return for the same, I speak to you as children, and you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? He goes on to say in verse 17, therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, you want to draw close to God in this time of fasting and prayer. You need to, in this time, need to allow God to wash you and cleanse you and clean you and wash you till you get to the place where the promises of God can be advocated and a part of your life. It's a powerful scripture. Isaiah 1:16 says this. It says, when you stand spreading out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you, even though you make many prayers. I will not hear, for your hands are full of blood, he says. He goes on and says, wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings from before your eyes, and cease to do evil. In other words, what God was saying is that you're trying to worship me with dirty hands. You're trying to come before me with dirty hands. Psalm 24 says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He that has a pure heart and clean hands. So to draw near to God, we have to allow God to wash us, to cleanse us, to purify us. That's part, listen, to have dirty hands, be double-minded, to be defiled in our heart. God says, I will not hear your prayers. Wow. So how do you do that? How do you wash? In other words, the washing of the Word and the blood of Jesus. God, I'm taking a spiritual bath in these 21 days so that you can cleanse me. That's been part of my prayer. I've been saying, God, show me every area of my life that's unclean. And believe me, you ask God that, He'll begin to show that to you. And sometimes you may not like what He has to say or what He has to hear. But listen to me, if we'll find God's will, if we're going to be a church that's able to flow into the deep channels and streams of God's will, if we're going to find those channels that lead us out to a wide open sea and a wide open ocean, if we're going to allow the pilot of the channel to come in to our ship and to get on our ship, then we have to learn that we've got to wash ourselves, cleanse ourselves, remain pure before God. Why? Because the call from Paul was to separate yourselves. Be ye separate, says the Lord, and do not touch that which is unclean. And I will receive you and be your father. Isn't that a good promise? He said, I'll receive you and be your father. Woo! That's good news. Why? But we have to wash ourselves. We have to cleanse ourselves. Naomi said, freshly clean. You need to be freshly clean, as the Scripture teaches it. In other words, not yesterday's bath is not going to do. Huh? Y'all hear me? Last week's bath is not going to do. You can take that wherever you want. But I'm here to tell you There's nothing better than somebody who's freshly clean. You hear what I'm saying? Zestfully clean. You know? But yesterday's bath sometimes don't work. Last week's bath doesn't work. But it's also a picture of you can't live on what God cleansed you with yesterday or what He did last year. Well, I made a commitment to God 4 years ago, but I've lived like the devil since. That doesn't apply. You need to be washed. You need to be cleansed. We need the washing of the water of the Word and the blood of Jesus daily in our lives. We need to allow God to wash us and cleanse us. Ephesians 5:25 says that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the Word of God. The Word of God is to you, is to your spirit, what the water is to the body. The Word of God to our spirit is what water is to the body. Cleanses our mind, our soul, our spirits, our hands, our hearts. Would you let God do that? How many is that great prayer to let God wash us and cleanse us? Psalm 119:9 says this, a man that cleanseth his way, a man cleanses his way by taking heed according to your word. In other words, he's saying a man cleanses himself by living according and hearing to your word. Living to the word of God, cleansing to the word of God. Let the Word of God freshly cleanse us. And so, when we fast, we say, I want to be freshly clean. Listen, sometimes we need to look deep and say, God, I've accumulated some things. I've picked up some things that aren't like You, oh God. I've picked up some things through the year. I've picked up some things through, just letting my guard down. So when you fast and pray, we're allowing God to freshly clean us. We're allowing God, let God freshly clean you. Let God do the work that He wants to do in your life. Because once you are freshly clean, then what happens is you become a candidate for the anointing of God. Look, the anointing don't come on you and then you're cleansed. You are cleaned by the washing of the water of the Word and then the anointing comes. Now, Ruth, if she did not take a bath and got clean, and she went and put anointing oil on, there would be a contrast of fragrance. All right? It's kind of like my son when he was young. And you'd say, Austin, go get a shower. He'd go in, he'd do exactly what you told him. But he wouldn't use the soap, and he wouldn't wash his hair, and he wouldn't use, stuff. And he'd come out, and he'd smell like water and body odor. And I said, did you wash yourself? He said, no, I just showered. I said, you've got to wash yourself. And he'd go, oh, that takes too long. Guess what? You got to get back in. How much longer has that taken? But there's a mixture of odor. The anointing doesn't come until we're cleansed. We can't apply anointing until we have prepared our hearts, our minds, and spirits and washed it clean. That's when the anointing comes. You want anointing on this body and on this church and be able to follow the deep streams of the channel of God's will, we first have to walk and have conviction about purity in our lives. We cannot compromise in any area of the Word of God. We've got to remain pure to the Word of God. We can't give room to the devil. All right, that's a little old school preaching for you. Second of all, it says there in verse 3, it says that when you go in to approach Him, that you need to anoint yourself. You need to anoint yourself. And it means to be fragrantly anointed, to put on perfume. When we fast and pray and we cleanse ourselves, all of a sudden the anointing of God will come upon you. And you'll be able, by a special grace that God gives you, to do whatever His will is for your life. See, the anointing makes you nicer It makes it nicer for you to be near. The fragrance towards God. God recognizes the fragrance that's on your life. Your anointing. Listen, your anointing is the Holy Spirit. The anointing which you have released is from Him. And it's an anointing that comes on. It abides in you. And this anointing will come upon you. And it's there to guide you. The anointing is not taught. It is applied by God Himself. You can't really teach people to have the anointing. The anointing comes on your life out of the purity of your life, the cleansing of your life. The anointing comes out of your dedication towards God. It's the life of purity, of being cleansed, and that incense comes up to God, and God puts His anointing by grace on your life, and that grace will raise you up, and God's anointing is on you and can keep you and can keep someone who has the anointing cannot stay down for long. God will always bring them up. The anointing promotes you. Men don't promote you. The anointing promotes you. It's the anointing. You say, well, I'm waiting on God to open the door. Let me tell you how God will open the door. Purify your heart. Purify your mind. Wash yourself and cleanse you. Then the anointing of God will come on you. And that grace of that anointing that's in your life will open the door for God to use you. God will raise you up by His grace and a door will open for you. Men don't open doors for you. I don't find places for you to preach. I don't find churches for you to pastor or places for you to go. Why? Because I am not the anointing. The anointing is what opened doors for you. It's the anointing that gives you breakthrough. It's the anointing that puts you in position to find favor with God and to find that perfect will of God for your life. And when the anointing's on your life, you have a grace that's on you that allows you to do certain things for God. There's a favor that comes on you when the anointing of God. She said, if you're going to go in to the king, you've got to perfume yourself. You've got to put the anointing of God on you. You've got to be freshly cleansed and you've got to be freshly anointed if you want to get the king's attention. Let me tell you how to get God's attention. Let purity run through your life and the anointing of God will come on your life. It'll get God's attention. We allow the anointing to flow through this church and allow the anointing of God's grace to be upon this fellowship. That fragrance will reach heaven. It'll open heaven for us. And God Himself will show up in the midst and come see what that fragrance is. It's fragrantly anointed. Verse 3, the third thing is, I love this. It says, put on your best garment. Tells her to put on her best garment. Boaz owns everything. Put on your best, girl. He's a king. Dig through that closet. Get out that best garment you got. Put that thing on. Now, here's what tradition says, and here's what is interesting. As I begin to study this, I think Hebrew culture, there are some times and period when in Hebrew culture, when a woman was widowed, listen, a lot of things were revealed by the garments that they wore. In other words, the garments they had on said a lot about who they were. You could almost distinguish sometimes what family they were from. Sometimes what their position was, what their profession was. Naomi lost her husband. She wore the garments of mourning. And as long as she was a widow, there was a mourning garment that she always had to wear to let those know that she has been a widow, that she has had loss, that she was not someone who was not been married, but those garments were widow's garments that she had to put on. Naomi said, hey, if you're going to go before the king, you've got to remove those garments. You've got to put fresh garments on. You've got to put another garment on. Those old garments of mourning and sorrow will not do. If you want to get near to the king, if you want to change what you're wearing so that he can respond to you, sometimes we have to take those garments that are on us and put on new garments so that when we come before the king, he will respond to us because we've put on fresh garments in our lives. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. It's understanding. Listen, God understands our pain. And the greatest thing that you can do in your prayer life is put some of the moaning here. Let me say this nicely. As you fast and pray, sometimes we have incorporated our prayers as a bunch of moaning and groaning towards God. God, I don't have. I don't this. You don't this. He's like this. That husband you gave me. That kid you gave me. That boss you gave me. That job. That this. And our prayers have been filled with moaning and groaning. But what we've got to do is we've got to take that garment off in our prayers and start putting a little bit more of some hallelujahs and thank you, Jesus, in some of our prayers. Why? Because it says that God inhabits the praises of His people. You want to get God's attention? Start worshiping Him. You want to get God's attention? Start worshiping through your heartache and through your pain. You'll get God's attention. That anointing that comes on you through worship and praise will bring His attraction towards you. And He will see you and you will release those garments of mourning, those garments, and all of a sudden He'll put on the garments of praise. The garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, as Isaiah 61 says, that He'll replace those in your life. Isaiah 63. I love this. Isaiah 63. Actually, turn there. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. Or 61, I'm sorry. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Listen, I feel this strongly. Look at verse 3. He says, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now this is a prophetic word about Jesus. In verse 3, "to console those who mourn in Zion." He said, this is for those, to comfort those who mourn in Zion. To comfort those who mourn in Zion. I really feel prophetically, as we fast and pray, that I believe that what God wants to do spiritually in our body, is in the church body, is that God wants to take, wants to change the wardrobe of some of our lives. He wants to change it. Look what it says. "To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, planted of the Lord, that life may be glorified." What did He say here? What is He saying? I'm going to exchange beauty for ashes. I'm going to give you the oil of joy. In other words, Ruth, it's time to put off the robes and the garments of mourning and put off the ashes and sorrow. And it's time to put on the garments of praise. It's time to change your garments. Time to put something new on. Put a new spin on your praise. A new spin on your outlook. Remove the mourning out of your talk, out of your life, the negativity out of your voice, and put on the garment of praise and learn the worship. You want to get His attention? Put on a new garment. Wash yourself and cleanse yourself. It's interesting because the word ashes there is interesting. In the Old Testament, ashes were mostly used. They had two purposes. One was the ashes of the altar. At times when a red heifer was sacrificed, they would take the ashes of that red heifer, and it was used for two things. One, it was used as an ingredient in the anointing oil, but it was also used to be taken to put on the head of those that were unclean. Matter of fact, if you were a leper, sometimes the lepers would come and they'd put those heifer ashes on top of the heads of the lepers. If you were in mourning, you would come and the priest would put those ashes on your head so that as you walked through the city, people knew there was something about what was going on in your life. It was a picture that you were mourning. It was a picture of hardship. It was a picture of something that was going on. It was a sign of humility. Matter of fact, it was even a sign that sometimes during a time of sorrow, they would put it on them as a sign of worthlessness and sorrow and great humility. But He said, "I'm going to exchange beauty for ashes." What beauty is He talking about? The word there is interesting. It means to place a tiara on your head. to remove ashes and put a tiara on your head. It means that you become a bride. The word means that it's the most beautiful moment in a woman's life. It's when the bride gets the attention. What is he saying in this scripture? He's saying that God is going to consult those who mourn in Zion. And when they mourn, he's going to replace the ashes for beauty. He's going to take that humiliation. He's going to take that sorrow and worthlessness. And he's going to put beauty on you. He's going to crown you as a bride. And that bride will have attention from the bridegroom, from the groom who will pay attention to that bride who is wearing the tiara. It gets God's attention. He's changing your garments. Hallelujah. He's changing beauty for ashes. Your sorrow, God is turning into beauty. His attention is turning towards you. No longer are you going to have to wear the garments of a widow or the garments of a mourner or the garments of someone of heartache and sorrow. God's going to change that. And in 2017, God is going to change your garments. Hallelujah. Cleanse us, oh God. Cleanse us. Freshly cleanse us. Bring your anointing on our lives. Lord, change the garments. Give us the oil of joy in our lives and beauty for ashes. I feel that. I feel that strongly. You know what I feel like? I got my foot on the devil's neck right now and just standing, just got his foot on some demon's neck in somebody's life when you just say that beauty for ashes, beauty for ashes, changing your garment, putting off the garment of mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I feel I'm stepping on some demon's head that's trying to bring destruction to your life. For those that mourn in Zion, what's that mean? It means those who mourn in the house of God. It means those who have gone through hardship in the house of God. Look down in verse 10. Whew. Hallelujah. I'm getting blessed. If I say so myself. Verse 10 says, "For he has clothed me with garments of salvation." Woohoo! "He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." Woo! He has clothed you. And I want to tell you, I get this picture, this mental picture of people coming in with ashes and mourning and hurting and broken. And because we're cleansed and because the anointing of God is on us, we're going to be able to change out the garments of people's lives and take the old garment off and put a new garment on them. And they'll leave with the garment of salvation. They'll leave with a fresh new outlook in life. God, let that anointing be on us. Hallelujah. Woo! And when they come in, we just say, "Take it off, baby. We've got something else for you to wear. Put on a new one. Put on a new song. Get rid of that old song you've been singing of 'Woe's me,' and put on a song that he's my redeemer. And my redeemer lives." Woo! Hey! Ha ha. Woo! All right. I'm about finished. And then we're going to pray. Number 4. Verses 3 and 4, it says, "Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garments." And it says, "Go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." Verse 4. "Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in and uncover his feet and lie down." Uncover his feet and lie down. Let me tell you what this was. This was an act of submission. It was an act of coming under the submission of a king, or coming under the submission of a Lord. I want to tell you, as we fast and pray, as we come towards God, as we draw near to God, we need to come with humility. We need to come with the attitude of submission. God, I submit my will. God, I submit my dreams. God, I submit my desires. I come and uncover your feet, God, and lay at your feet. It was the place at his feet that means going low, going as a sign of submission. Can I tell you the most sacred place in the world? It's not in Jerusalem at the temple. It's not at the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. It's not in here. It's not in this pulpit. It's not on this altar. It's not at the altar at the temple. The most sacred place you and I could ever be is at the feet of Jesus. That's the most sacred place. The most sacred place is for us to find the feet of Jesus. And during this time of fasting and prayer, this should be a time that we uncover His feet and lie down before Him in humility and say, God, everything I am, I give to You. What is Your will for my life? Because I'm going up these deep channels of purpose and I can't afford my ship to be run aground. I need to be guided and led to perfect will. But to find that, I've got to submit to You. Lay at the feet of Jesus. She laid at His feet. She uncovered His feet. She laid there as a sign of surrender. It was a place of breakthrough. Listen, stop sitting at the hands of Jesus and find His feet. We always want. What He can give. Let me tell you something. You want to find true purpose? Lay at His feet and He will find purpose in Him. Begin to submit your will to His, and all of a sudden, the anointing that's on your life. And then finally, verse 5. And He will tell you what you should do. When you carry that posture of submission, and then verse 5, and she said to her, and all that you say to me will I do. He will tell you what to do. He will speak to you. All that He says, I will do. Let me tell you, as we pursue God and we find this place at His feet, it's not a place of complaint. It's not a place to demand God. God, I demand You do this. I demand You do it. It's a place where He commands us. Whether we're on the mountain or in valley, whether we're in increase or whether we're debased, or whether we're in a place when we learn to hear His voice, it's at His feet we'll hear Him. It's at His feet He'll speak to us. He will not speak until we're at His feet. He will not speak till you're at a place of submission. If we want the Lord to speak to our fellowship and speak to us in this time of fasting and prayer, it's only going to be at a place of humility. It's only going to be a place of humility that we find Him. It's not going to be standing up and demanding from God and putting demands on God. Listen, there's times for declaration. All of those things are good. But if we want to hear the voice of God, we need to fall at His feet and find His feet and uncover His feet as a sign of submission, as a sign that You are Lord. And I'm waiting and waiting, Lord, for You to speak. I'm waiting to hear You. I want You to command me. What is it I must do? What is it, Lord? And listen, I want to tell you, there's nothing greater than to see men who have great destiny in their life, great men who have great purpose in their life, find a place of humility. Years ago, I used to go to a pastor's conference every year. And one year, we were at this pastor's conference. It was a big pastor's conference, and great preachers were preaching there. And Adrian Rogers was one of the preachers that was at the conference. But he was in the meeting. Matter of fact, we were sitting in a row, and he came, and an associate came and sat like three rows in front of us, and he sat there while the meeting was going on that night. It wasn't his turn to preach. He was there just to receive and to be fed himself. And towards the end of the meeting, the Holy Spirit began to move. It was an incredible call to purity. It was a call to humility. I mean, it was just a powerful word. I don't even remember what the message was. I just remember that moment and what it felt like. But in the moment, when the invitation was given at a pastor's conference, he was the first one to get up and go find the place. And he just didn't kneel down as a posture. He went up and he laid on the ground. He's a 70-year-old man who had obviously had one of the greatest churches in America. One of the greatest princes of preachers in our country. And one of the great faithful men of God. and just looked up to by millions and thousands of people. Had every reason in the world to be puffed up or arrogant or to be cool. And I thought what hit me, what broke me, what hit me and had an impact on me is as a man of his stature, a man of his reputation, still had the humility in his heart to say, I'm never too big to lay at the feet of Jesus. I don't care if you're CEO. I don't care if you run the biggest corporation in America. I don't care if you're president. I don't care if you're senator. I don't care if you work wherever you work or wherever you do or whatever you're. There's no greater joy than God gets than a man becomes humble before his God and says that my God is much bigger than I am. And there's times in our lives when we have to say, God, you are supreme in my life. And I want to tell you, a man who will not humble himself under the Lord is a man who's destined to fall into his own ways. And if he don't willfully bow before God, his passions will make him bow. You hear what I said? If you don't bow before God, your passions will make you bow. Your alcoholism will make you bow. Your drug addiction will make you bow. Your whatever you are, or whatever that passion, that iniquity that's in your life that you refuse, that bitterness, that anger, that arrogance that's in your life, you will bow. Jesus said, one day every man will bow and confess that I'm Lord. And it had a great impact on me. It taught me, you're never too big to seek the humility of God. Stand with me tonight if you would. These are all the prayers of the people that you go to church with. These are all the requests of what people are praying for. And what I'm doing is that I'm opening them up tonight and I'm laying them at the feet of Jesus. Because nothing's going to answer and help them unless they're put in a posture of humility. But what I want you to do tonight, as Adam leads us in worship, as I want you to come down to this altar. Now, not everybody can come and put hands on these requests. But if you'll come down and gather around these requests, some that can, if you'll put your hands on them. And just find a place down at this altar. Come on, just come if you can. If you can't stand very long, you want to sit on the front row, you can. But we're going to reach our hands out to these prayer requests. We're going to trust God. We're going to lay our hands on them and believe God for them for just a minute. And just pray and ask God to answer them. Come on, just gather around. Just come closer and gather. If you can't put your hands on them, put your hands on the back of someone. We're praying for one another. Praying for the needs of one another. Father, cleanse us. Wash us. Cleanse us with your word, Lord. Let the cleansing power of your Holy Spirit wash us tonight and cleanse us. Lord, let your anointing, let us bathe ourselves and put your anointing. Let us clothe ourselves with your anointing tonight. Let us change our garments. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. The spirit of heaviness for the spirit of praise. Lord, let us sit at your feet tonight in humility. We sit at your feet tonight, Lord. With all humility, knowing that we surrender to you, God. Our will is surrendered. Our church will is surrendered. Lord, you come and get aboard the ship and lead us through the channels, the deep channels of your will. Show us where the shoals are. Show us where the islands are. Show us where the banks are too big and the depths are too small, where the shallows are. And lead us into the deep places so we can find where the ocean is. Trading the garment of praise, Lord. Let us lay at the feet of Jesus, and Lord, let us listen to hear His voice. Our ears are open, Lord. We want to hear. Speak to us. And Lord, we pray over these requests tonight. We pray as a body, as a church body, over the prayers and the heartaches of these prayers. Many of people have agonized over these prayer requests that are here, that they've written, that they've put here. There's been many years where they've been praying for breakthrough. Many of them are heartaches. Many of them are diseases and sicknesses and bondages and sin. Many of them, Lord, are things that have ruined people's lives and brought heartache to them. Many of them are for houses and for breakthroughs, for jobs and for increase of income and for children's blessing and for a new day, a new hope. These requests represent someone's hope, someone's prayer, someone's belief that God, You are real. And we pray as we cover these prayer requests, God, You would answer them according to Your Word. Lord, we speak tonight. We pray tonight. We lay at Your feet, Lord. We uncover Your feet, Lord, waiting to hear Your voice, Lord. We're at Your feet, Lord God, waiting for Your request. Answer these requests, Lord. We seek You. We pray, Lord. We humble ourselves. We're no longer people who have a profession tonight, but we're Christians tonight. We're believers. We're family. We're church tonight. We're praying over other believers' needs tonight. And we pray there be breakthrough in these needs. We declare life now and not death. We declare living and alive and breakthrough and anointing now. Hallelujah. We pray for joy. Let the joy of the Lord answer these requests. Let the joy of the Lord be the answer to these requests. Let the joy of the Lord, may they go leaping and rejoicing at the answer. May they be great breakthrough, Lord. Now just take a second and pray in the Spirit. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. I need some of you old timers, some of you old time Holy Ghost folks, I need you to come on, help me pray. Come on, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Come on, pray, pray over Him. Pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God pray. Give the utterance. Let the Spirit of God pray through you. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit pray the perfection, the perfect prayer through you. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship You. We worship You. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, release the potential of God in these requests. I pray, God, that they'll reach their potential, God. They won't be like the koi fish that only responds to its environment. But God, that they will grow to its potential. It'll grow to its potential. It'll grow to its potential. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we worship You. Hallelujah, sing something. Yes. Surrender. Lord, there is none like. Now lift your hands to the Lord and sing this song with us. Know that I stand in the arms of forever. Lord, there is none like You. There is none like You. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, You give. Hallelujah. Say I love you, I'll choose. And I will stand, and I will hold you forever, for all you are. And I will stand, and all to you I will surrender. I worship you forever. Worship you forever for all you are. I will stand and to you I will surrender. I worship you forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord. We've anointed these requests. We've put our faith to action. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we fast, that you allow us to draw near. Lord, let us put on freshly garments. Let us put on a freshly anointing. Let us cleanse us. Give us a freshly cleansing, Lord God. Let us be clean, Lord. Let us come and lay at your feet, Lord God, waiting to hear your command and direction for our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to have life. We thank you for the blessing of God that is on each of us. And we leave tonight knowing that we are truly blessed. We are not a people without a God whose arm is not short or an ear who cannot hear. But we serve a God who attends to His people. But Lord, nothing gets God's attention like purity. Nothing gets God's attention like anointing. Nothing gets God's attention like humility. Nothing gets God's attention than people who are eager to hear the voice of God. Nothing gets God's attention than allowing the Holy Spirit to be the channel, guide in our life. So we surrender and we say yes, yes, yes. Make River Valley a church, God, that we be a people that say yes. And when you say go through that channel, lead us through, oh God. We thank you. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. May it work in each of our lives as we leave tonight. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap.